Warning,
this is the most important
podcast
of our lifetime.
Hello, everyone.
What is Hoppatarian?
So what is Hoppa? So when you put together Hoppatarians, what is that?
You know the thing.
They're here to awkward it up for you guys.
Which is a very interesting and beautiful mix of humanity.
Anyone has a podcast?
You're an extremist.
Shut up.
All right, let's get to it. Hey, what's happening? Welcome to the Hoppatarian Show, the only podcast hosted by someone who doesn't understand how indictments work. Maybe I'm just stupid. I don't know. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and leave a review telling us how much you love the Hoppa Ethno State. Our guest today is a huge fan of the state of Arkansas, not only because he lives there, but because he lived through Bill Clinton's tenure as governor there, which means he may or may not have information that can lead to Hillary Clinton's arrest. It's the host of the Ramsey Paul Show. It's Ramsey Paul. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I loved your dad joke and your dad, Hoppa. I like that. So good job with that. Yeah. And good luck with your Hoppa ethno state. And we were talking before the show. Say hi to Nico. I love her to death. I was on your show before you guys were married. I'm like, you guys are such a cute couple. You should hook up. And here you go. You have kids and everything, or kid. And it's really great to see you. And thank you for having me on your show. I was busy today, but I said, I'm going to make time. I want to do the show. So let's get into it.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. And yeah, like you said, it's been a while. But I'm glad that we're doing this now. And so let's just get right into it. So before we get into the big news, there was another thing that happened. There was this is going to be an all Donald Trump episode for anyone who's curious. So if you're tired of Donald Trump, then I guess you can skip and go to the next one or whatever. So, but please don't do that. You should listen to what we have to say, I guess. But anyway, so Donald Trump went on Tucker Carlson's show on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm still going to call it Twitter for now, because that's just, everyone's going to call it Twitter.
When you want to tweet, I still say I put out a tweet, or I think I told you, I said, when you put the show out, can I retweet you? What are you supposed to say? Re-X you?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll see it now where it says repost, and it's just what is this, Facebook? Like, come on. I saw something too that, I don't know if it's 100% true or not, or if it's just a rumor, but I saw something where they're going to, for the media part, it's going to look just like Instagram. It's like, what, is he trying to make a Facebook clone? Like, come on, Elon, really?
I know. Oh, and I see you got the blue check mark too and everything. Some people were joking about that, like with the name X, I could get some guys in trouble, like on the bill. So X.com. What is this? Why are you paying money for this?
Just put two more X's and then there you go.
I know. So it's great to be here. And I'm excited to talk about Trump. And we'll get into it. So, and I did retweet you or re-X you or whatever you call it. So hopefully we'll get a lot of people to watch this. So Let's get going. I'm ready.
All right. So just to get right into it, what was your initial thoughts after watching the interview? What did you, was you impressed? Or do you wish that Tucker had asked some better questions? What was your initial thoughts on it?
My initial thoughts was low energy. I was surprised. I thought Trump spent most of the interview looking back, and he has some legitimate complaints. Don't get me wrong, but it was so different from 2015 and 16. If you remember that time, it was real magical, high energy. He was talking, let's build the wall. Let's get industry back in the United States. The whole bit, everyone was so excited about it. And it was, I think, a magical time. And he just embodied that. And this time, he just seemed really subdued. He was talking about the past. And I don't know if you noticed, Tucker didn't even ask a question about what do you plan on your next term until there's only 2 minutes left in the show. I'm like, what the heck? That's like the most important thing. He was talking about like the Panama Canal. Like, really? I mean, we're going to talk about the Panama Canal? That was a big debate in the 70s before you were even born. I remember it. It was kind of silly. But so I thought it was low energy, to be honest. And I guess it's understandable. Maybe age is catching up to him. And don't get me wrong, he's not like a Biden senile, but you know, when you get, he's 77, that's getting up there, right? Yeah. So you start to slow down, Not me. I'm still like as fast as ever, but
yeah. Still chipper.
I'm spry. That's when you get old, you get the word spry. I'm spry. So that's, yeah. So I was a little disappointed, to be honest. I'll probably get people to hate me when I said that, but that's okay. I just tell it like it is.
Yeah, it was interesting because I've seen some people where they were reacting and kind of saying that, like you were saying, they were surprised because Tucker is kind of seen as this guy, maybe at least nowadays, maybe not back then. I'm not really 100% familiar with him back then, but I know him now, obviously, with the Fox News show and then him being kicked off and now with over on X, Twitter, whatever, with his new show there. And someone that's willing to kind of ask those tough questions. And with this Trump interview, it kind of seemed like maybe because, okay, I have the interview. And then maybe it wasn't just him. Maybe it was everyone working on the show along with him saying, okay, so we'll have Donald Trump on. We can't ask him the super tough question because we start asking him, he's just going to walk off. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. But I actually wrote down when you talk about the Panama Canal, when you mentioned that, I think that was a way of kind of talking about China because he said that China controls Panama Canal. And he had said that, well, I have a very good relationship with President Xi. So is he suggesting that, well, I have a really good relationship with China, but people were complaining about Joe Biden kind of being this China puppet.
I understand what he was doing. It's just that Tucker, and he didn't have to be confrontational, and you do interviews, and it's, I do both. I interview people and I'm on this side, and it's much easier to be on my side right now. It really is when you're doing the interview, because sometimes you get people that meander and some people, they're just like one word answers. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God. Other people, most people meander and they just start rambling. And so as an interviewer, you got to kind of rein that in. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to be a good interviewer. And I thought Tucker was surprisingly weak, and he didn't have to for this because he's usually really good. And I didn't expect hard questions where he's trying to be mean to Trump, but I would have liked him to ask a question. Here's the question I would have asked. So Mr. President, you're claiming that you were defrauded, that the election was rigged. Why do you think this time there'll be a different outcome? And I know they kind of alluded to that. And your first presidency, your first term, you're talking about building the wall. How will that be different this time? And what are your key elements, let's say, on censorship, on some of these big issues, crime in the cities? You could go down the list. And he didn't really drive the interview well. And I'm a big Tucker fanboy. Don't get me wrong. I still love him. But I thought it was weak on Tucker's part. I thought it was weak on Trump's part. And getting back to the Panama Canal, I know what he was doing. He's saying, oh, because China is now going to control it. Well, they're going to administrate it, whatever. But then he went back to in the 70s, how we sold it to him for $1 and that whole rigmarole. And I just thought it kind of rambled a bit. So it wasn't a very focused interview.
So you had mentioned there that some of the questions that you would have asked, including the election interference and all that. So not just Trump, but just overall Republicans. Let me find this tweet that I think would be interesting to you. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. And it's from Jeff Deist, at Jeff Deist, who was the former president of the Mises Institute. And he said, arresting and jailing political opponents, this is kind of alluding to what we're going to talk about with the mugshot, but arresting and jailing political opponents absolutely works and is wildly popular with millions of Americans. So saying that, along with half of the American people believe that the election was stolen, and that their candidate won, but it was taken from them. How do they not understand? Or maybe they do. They're just kind of, okay, maybe this time will be different. And I'm thinking Donald Trump maybe thinks that way too. Maybe thinks, no, I think this time it's going to be, I'll make sure that it's not going to happen again. I mean, how are they going to know it's going to happen? Because if you think the election was stolen now.
Right. I mean, why won't, and now it's even worse because a lot of Trump voters have died off because let's face it, Republicans, their base is white people. And yeah. White people are the huge majority when you talk about the boomers and older, but when you get younger, they're not. And most non-whites do not vote Republican. So the Republicans' days are numbered anyway. So over the past 4 years, a lot of the voters have died. There's only a few key states that really decide the election too, because Colorado is going to go blue. California is going to go blue. Arkansas, no matter what, is going to go red. But you have states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, that are really what they call the battleground states. And it's not looking good for the Republicans. They got to basically win every state. And this is going to be very, very difficult for even Trump, even if it is a legitimate election, to win this. And then when you add in, if he said there's rigging, and let's say they do the COVID thing again, mail-in ballots, they're going to have the same issue. Yeah, that would have been an interesting question to ask Trump.
And so, like I was alluding to with the tweet talking about jailing opponents, we know now that Donald Trump had went down and got his mugshot, the famous mugshot that everyone's been talking about for the past 24 hours as of this recording here. And I mean, the thing about it too, and I'll share it because, I mean, it's just kind of ridiculous that, okay, so Donald Trump hasn't been on Twitter, hasn't tweeted from his Twitter account since 2021, since January of 2021. And I think the last thing he tweeted was, I'm not going to be going to Joe Biden's inauguration.
Right.
And so then we have this, where this is literally a tweet at 7:38 p.m. August 24th, 2023. And this is mugshot, says election interference, never surrender. And then his website, DonaldJTrump.com. And I mean, you, as of right now, you look at it, over 210 million views, 332,000 retweets, reposts, whatever, over 1.4 million likes. I mean, it's crazy. And this is probably going to be in the top 50 like tweets and retweeted tweets of all time. And so looking at this, knowing that, okay, we have a mugshot. He's not arrested. At least I think they're going to post bail or something for him, I heard.
No, he is arrested, but he is getting bail. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So all that's happening. We see now, whether you didn't believe it, but now we see, okay, the other side, the left, liberals, whatever you want to call them, they're willing to arrest people they don't like. Why yes. Can't the right wingers, the Republicans, do the same thing? What do you say to that?
They should.
Yeah,
because they don't. I mean, we play by a different standard. The left plays to win by any means necessary, and we play by, oh, we're going to be nice to them.
They're not nice to you, so why play?
Right. It's this weird appeasement we try to do with the left, and we got to consider they're playing for real. We should play for real too, and this is a problem. And I believe what the left says, that what they're saying, they said they're going to do this sort of thing, and he will be found guilty. He doesn't have real, not because he did anything wrong, but it's kind of a kangaroo court. So yeah, it's a really sad day for America. It really is. You know, we kind of have gallows humor about it, but this is what you don't want in a country. And this is because what he did, I mean, he went down to Georgia and complained about the election results. Well, big deal. Big deal.
Right.
Hillary Clinton, did she ever get over complaining about it? Oh, it was stolen by the Russians. Rachel Maddow made a whole deal about it. The district attorney, in fact, that is prosecuting Trump, she's a Democrat. She was complaining about Stacey Abrams. Oh, her election was stolen. So they all do it. I mean, that's just traditional politics. And Trump thought, right or wrong, I don't know, that there was some funny business going in Georgia. He asked people in Georgia to look into it. That's his legal right to do so. There's no conspiracy here. And they're trying to put him in jail for that. Really? What are they trying to put him in jail for otherwise? I don't see any crime here.
Well, I guess they could say, along with looking into election results, and I guess just making sure, this, I just want to make sure that everything is A-OK. If there are any funny business, then definitely let me know. But if there isn't anything, then okay, whatever. And the writing on the wall, other than what happened on election night with the whole, oh, like the little chart or little graph thing where it was like,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Went up like, yeah, that. Like, yeah. What the hell? What the hell happened there?
Yeah, I went to bed. I thought Trump had won. And I'm like, what? Right. Then, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. We found all these ballots. And I'm like, what? And so, yeah, that was strange to say the least. You know, I remember the election with Al Gore and the hanging chads. Were you old enough to remember that? But that was a thing. Went down to the Florida and the Supreme Court. This is what elections happen. Sometimes people contest elections. It shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't be a crime. Yeah. So I don't know. What did he do? Did he threaten to kill someone? No. He just said, I just dispute this election. That's his right. This is First Amendment right, right? You guys, are you guys still like libertarians, right? So you like First Amendment, stuff like that? So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, we'll go with, let's go with that. Libertarian, whatever.
Oh, you're no longer that. You're hopitarians now.
Yeah, we're hopitarians. Yeah. What's libertarian? I don't know what that is. What is that?
Oh, well, you used to be years ago when you guys were young and naive. And
hey, people can change, man. Hey, people
can change. Well, hey, I've been through that phase too. I was in my Ayn Rand phase and all that. So I've been all that way. Yes, I know. So I've grown up, but... that we have a First Amendment and it applies to the president. He can object. He could, if there's nothing wrong with the president, say this is bullshit. I think they stole it. I'm objecting to it. I can call people down there saying they should look into it. That's all legal. You may say because he's full of shit or you shouldn't do that or was unfounded, but that's your opinion. Part of the First Amendment, you're able to say what you want. So even if it wasn't true, let's say if Georgia was squeaky clean, that's not the point. He has a right to object to it, just like Hillary objected to her election and Stacey Abrams objected to her election in Georgia. That's the people's right to object to it, say you were screwed. So he shouldn't have been charged. It's pure politics. And it's a dangerous route to go down arresting your political opponents. And it was funny because you remember you saying, why don't you, I'll follow up. See, I'm a good guest. I follow up. You were saying, how about, why doesn't the right ever do this? You remember there was that. Remember, lock her up, Hillary Clinton.
Right, right.
And even Trump talk about. But when he got in office, he was like, no, that's something we really can't do because it's bad for the country, blah, blah, blah. But they weren't shy to doing it for Trump. So that's kind of the difference.
So, yeah, you just mentioned Donald Trump basically kind of backing off the arresting Hillary.
Yeah,
he should have done. That should have been the first thing he done was, oh, you know what? Remember when I said like he just walks up or he has some people walk up to him. Hey, remember when Donald Trump said he was going to lock you be in jail? Well, guess what? You're going to be in jail now because just even if it was just theater, just the fact that, hey, we'll get a mugshot just like here. Donald Trump has a mugshot here. Hillary Clinton have a mugshot too. Like, just do it. Like, because
I would. I would like to see a mugshot of Bill Biden. He would have his mouth open, looking very confused. It'd be a classic. I can already see it in my head. It's, but no, Trump, despite what the left thought, and even the right, everyone thought, oh, the God Emperor on the left, oh, he's going to be a fascist. Really, the dirty little secret is Donald Trump politically was kind of like a Democrat in the 90s. He's not that radical. And he just wanted to be friends with everyone. And he staffed his administration with people we'd call the deep state now. So he didn't have all these radicals in. He tried to be friends with everyone. And it really backfired on him. They just attacked him, his whole administration. They'd never accepted his presidency. Remember that? Not my president! All that, all the feminists. But now that's considered insurrection. But at the time, that was considered a fine with Donald Trump. So, yeah, he was actually kind of weak in many ways, and it came back and bit him. You can't be weak with these people. These people are playing for keeps, and we try to be nice and fit in. That just doesn't work. They see that as weakness.
So how do you think with the mugshot and all the indictments and him in jail and then the bomb being posted and everything like that. Do you think that his base and even people who maybe did vote for him in 2020, but now they were like, after that, they're kind of like, well, okay, we kind of understand that. Okay. Maybe the Trump thing isn't working out. It phased out. It was good while it lasted or however you want to call it. But then they see this and they're like, oh shit, maybe something's on, maybe there is more to this than what I thought. So how much of a, I guess, like how much do you think this is going to amp their, like amp his base? Do you think it's like, this is the thing? Because I mean, he tweeted it. Like I said, he hadn't tweeted since January, 2021. Everyone's like, when is he going to come back? And then he comes back with this and maybe he's thinking, okay, well, if I tweet this, this is my first tweet. Hey, this is pretty cool. I'm going to get some merchandise. You know, this is
He's going to get some ad revenue now on X. Yeah, he's going to get a good check on X for those ads. Like he needs that. Right. You know, it's funny. The more he gets indicted, the more he goes up in the polls. Mm-hmm. And there's no one that really can challenge him for the nomination. What the Republicans are hoping for, and I think will happen, he will be convicted. Then the RNC, the Republican National Committee, will say, we can't have someone that's convicted as a felon of a felony as our nominee. So we're going to kick him out of the Republican Party. That's my guess is what will happen. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I guess. So getting back to your question, it's going to be amped up the base, but the Republicans, they don't give a damn about their base. I think they're going to kick them out of the party. And then we'll have all the rest, except for Vivek. I'm on the Vivek train. All the rest are kind of losers, so I don't really care about the rest. But I do like Vivek, though. Ramaswamy, I do like him, so I kind of support him.
Well, I've heard some interesting things about Vivek that I don't know if you've heard about it or read about it or anything like that. But I heard some kind of background stuff about him that's kind of questionable about who's funding him and some of the things that he had said about all the COVID stuff that was happening. And now he's kind of changed. And again, you can change your mind in such a quick amount of time because there are people who are saying, well, you know, at first I thought maybe if you did put a mask on, or if you did get the vaccine, it would be good. But then they realize, oh, crap, I was wrong and I'm sorry. But Vivek, I think he wrote a book or something like that where he was kind of talking about that. It was kind of like wishy-washy and like that. So I think what he's saying, if we're just looking at what he's saying right now, he might be in the top three. But I guess kind of looking at his past, you're kind of thinking, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But you know who else that criticism came up with? Donald Trump, because I remember doing an interview with NPR and Donald Trump had all these things. And the guy asked me, well, how do you know he's going to go do all these things? This wasn't his history. I'm like, well, you have a point. We don't know. And about people changing, people do change. I said things that I no longer agree with. We were talking before the show, Michelle Malkin. I met her at her home, lovely woman, her family. Mm-hmm. She told me she used to be a neocon. She was wrong. Yeah, she's changed her mind. So people do change. Tucker was a neocon. So people change their positions. And we all, that's okay. I'm fine with people adapting their positions. I don't know. Some of Vivek's positions, I was like, wow, have you been watching Ramsey Paul videos? Because he says a lot of stuff that's very Ramsey Paul-ish, that's for sure. And it's like when he talked about Israel, what I like about Israel is how they protect their borders and have their identity. I'm like, wow, that's what I always say. So he's, could he be a fraudster? Sure. We never know. Right. But I mean, did he say stuff in the past? He's changed his mind. Yeah, they all have. But what he's saying right now, I support him. Do I think he's a savior? No, I don't think anyone is. I'm kind of cynical. But I of all the ones that are running now, the only three people I could support right now for president that are running are Donald Trump, Vivek. And is it Vivek or Vivek? I never know.
Whichever.
He should have changed his name like Nikki Haley.
Right.
John Smith.
Yes.
And then the RFK Jr. I kind of like him too, to be honest. So those are the three I like. But all three I don't think really have a chance. But Vivek, maybe. I don't know. So he's the one I like.
Yeah. And I think like Ron DeSantis, he's someone that I think if there was any chance of him getting that nomination, I think it's pretty much gone now. I mean, that debate, the little that I saw, I mean, there was the one where I saw a clip where the moderator was asking all the candidates, if Donald Trump does end up being the nominee, I think was the question. Yes. Who would like, raise your hand if you would do that? Despite everything that's going on, would you still support him? And, you know, Vivek was like the first one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And then I can't remember who else was it. But then you see Ron Sands looking around and be like, ah, it's like, come on.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't even raise his hand high. He was like, yeah, okay, I like, guess if I have to. I'm just, he came across very weak. This is clarification. In 2022, I was on the Ron DeSantis bus. Remember the big election in Florida? It was kind of, there's going to be the red wave, and that didn't really happen. But Florida did, he did crush it in Florida. Yeah. He won easily. And he was doing everything. He was doing funny things, sending immigrants to Martha's Vineyard, hilarious trolling. Right. And he was saying all the right stuff about all this weird transgender stuff in schools. And I'm like, I really like Ron DeSantis. He seems like a Donald Trump without the baggage or character issues, because I like Donald Trump in many ways, but he has his flaws. Let's just put that way. In his personal life, he's not, you know, he's not the type of guy, you know, he's not been the squeaky clean type of guy. Right. Mm-hmm. And Ron does seem that way. And I'm like, yeah. So Ron DeSantis, here's a younger guy. Trump's getting older. He's going to 77 now. So he's aging. And so we have a younger guy, more energy, same policies basically as Trump articulate. I was all on board. And then he was on Tucker. Yeah, the whole Ukrainian thing, that's a territorial dispute. And then he got talked to. And then he went straight neocon. Then he went to Israel and decided to ban speech, you know, based on pamphlets, which is against the First Amendment.
What does that have to do with Florida?
It's hilarious. It's just so bad off. Just going to a foreign country to do that. And right. You shouldn't do that anyway. You should allow speech. And it's not that I ever do such a pamphlet, but that should be your right. Right. And it's not going to be enforced universally. Right. Because I object to the LGBTQ agenda. But if someone puts an LGBTQ pamphlet on my house, well, they wouldn't where I live now because I'm in the sticks. But theoretically, if they did, I kind of sue them, saying, "Oh, this is an insult to me," and so it was horrible. And I really was disillusioned with Ron DeSantis ever since then. And I thought his campaign's been really poor. I don't see him. I don't see him. I think he's blew it. I agree with you.
Yeah, and he. Like you said, he crushed it in Florida. He went by like 20 points or whatever it was. It was a pretty good number. But now with this presidential run, and I'm sure even people who voted for him in Florida kind of thinking, well, did you do this just to try and run for president? Like, I don't understand what was the point. He should have just stayed in Florida, focused on Florida, because now if he tries to run for governor again, which I think you can run for governor. I don't know 100%. But say that he does decide to run for governor again. Well, who has to say that all the people who voted for him are going to be like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if you're in this for Florida or if you just want to run for president again. Like, I don't know what your plan is here.
Yeah, I think his strategy was poor because a lot of people were talking before he announced that he wouldn't announce that he was a rising star. And the smart move was to sit out this election and go for 2028, right?
Yeah.
So the Trump thing would be over. He then would be, you know, position himself as a de facto front runner. Whereas now Trump is killing it. And the only way they're going to get the nomination is by default. But I mean, what a way to win, right? By default, I won.
Right, right.
So that's kind of what they're hoping for now. But I think he kind of ran prematurely, in my opinion. He probably should have waited for 2028. But we will see. We will see. Maybe he will be the nominee. I don't know. I guess technically he's still in second place for Vivek closing the gap. But we will see. It's always early. If you follow the presidential elections or the nomination process, frequently who you think is going to win, it changes a lot once, you know, things start getting going. So we'll have to see.
So I guess we can maybe just go down the list of all the other candidates and just kind of give me a little tiny snippet of what you think. So Tim Scott, what are your thoughts on Tim Scott?
Oh, the Republicans are going to love him. Base black guy. He's the guy to show that they're totally not racist. Expect to see him a big time slot in the RNC convention. And he comes across like a black pastor, nothing wrong with that, but yeah, he's the guy to show they're totally not racist.
Nikki Haley.
I can't stand her. There's two Indians. She's the evil Indian. I like the good Indian, the Vivek. She's a globalist. She doesn't stand for American values. She wants to raise the age of Social Security, which enrages me because it wasn't set up for that. That was, I could go on for that forever, but I know we're limited for time. But I can't stand that woman.
The Twinkie himself, Chris Christie.
Yeah, he's just belligerent. He just has the hatred of Trump. He doesn't have a chance. He was there because I guess they were having free donuts, so he showed up for the debate. So yeah.
Well, he did say, talking about your boy Vivek, I'm tired of whatever. It was something along the lines of, I'm tired of hearing someone that sounds like ChatGPT. He's like, ooh, wow, you sound like you're part of the times. Good for you, man.
Yeah, Vivek did really well in the debate, but yeah, he's kind of irrelevant, really.
Mike Pence.
Mike Pence, he thinks it's 1985, perpetually 1985. He's still fighting the Soviet Union. The guy's stuck in a time machine. It's really bizarre. I don't really care for him. He's a guy that really, I could see the neocons putting money into him, and he'll run and he'll be a gracious loser. That's kind of what they want. I don't like Mike Pence whatsoever.
Well, speaking of Mike Pence, and he had actually spoken to Tucker Carlson at some event, and which I'm not sure if you've seen that or not, but he basically said, because Tucker was basically talking about his stance on the Russia-Ukraine war.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and basically the gist of it was Tucker was saying, so you're okay with sending all this money over there while things are happening in America that aren't so good? And Mike Pence said, well, that's not my problem.
Not my concern.
Exactly.
It's Mike, not my concern, Pence. Yeah, he kind of torpedoed his candidacy there.
Yeah.
But it was an insight because he looked befuddled. Like, why am I, as an American politician, why should I give a damn about the American citizens? This is a weird idea. Yeah. Is this part of it? I never heard this. These people in Washington, the idea that they should care about Americans is like, well, that sounds pretty goofy to me. He's been in Washington forever, so he has no concern about America's. Did you see that cringe video he's trying to show? He's like one of the guys, like from Texas, where you guys used to be from. I have my red pickup truck, and I'm gonna fill it up with gas.
I talked about it in the last
and he was faking it, he wasn't even doing it, he doesn't even know how to fill his gas.
You hear the beeping still, it's like, dude, just push the damn button.
He's everything I hate about politicians, they all just put on a show. It's like whenever there's a disaster. Politicians gravitate towards disasters like flies go to a corpse. They just love it because it can show that they're the hero. And oh, there's a flooding, and they'll show up, and then they'll do this. They'll undo their tie, and then they'll roll up their sleeves, and then they'll have a photo up of them holding the sandbag, right? And they'll show that. And then the minute the cameras leave, they're the hell out of there. But they got that photo up of them helping with the effort. They love that shit. Yeah, that's Mike Pence.
Yeah, speaking of dead, he had the fly going on during the VP debate. So, yeah, good one, Mike. And then speaking of irrelevant, Doug Burgum. I never even heard of the guy. And then
Bugman, as I call him, Bugman. He's from North Dakota or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him, so he's kind of irrelevant. So, but yeah.
And then Asa Hutchinson, or as Donald Trump said in that Tucker interview, he calls him Ada.
Asa, yeah, he was my governor. Asa. Yeah, this guy is I can't stand Asa. He's a governor. He's always like, oh, I just love Jesus. Anyways, posting Bible verses. He's one of those, right? And then in Arkansas, they said, the legislature said here, well, we're going to make it so you can't, if you're under 18, you can't have your dick cut off, or you can't be put on hormones. Because, by the way, in Arkansas, if you're under 18, you can't get a tattoo, you can't drink liquor. I mean, you can't, you're not, even if you have parental permission, you can't get a tattoo or these things. So you shouldn't have a sex change. And they voted on that, and our good Christian governor vetoed it. They overruled him, overridden his veto. But that just shows Asa. He's a Walmart bot. He's just horrible. He doesn't really have a chance. I'm not sure why he's doing this, but that's where he is. So he's an embarrassment to Arkansas. I'm in Arkansas. We disavow. We get a lot of weirdos in Arkansas, though. We got the Clinton speaking, Bill Clinton. Hillary, she was from Illinois or New York or whatever. But Bill, he's a good old boy from Arkansas. And And then Hunter Biden, he had that unfortunate incident with a stripper in Arkansas that led to having a baby, you know, and child support and all that. So got to be careful down here. Got to be careful down here in Arkansas. You never know what's going to happen.
And I guess kind of going over some of the one of the candidates that didn't, that wasn't on the stage, obviously, other than Donald Trump, was Larry Elder. He's kind of the big name that didn't, I guess, make it or wasn't included in the debate stage. Do you kind of have an overview of what happened there?
No, I really don't. I don't think it's going to be really relevant, obviously, okay, for this happening. If you want your black guy, it's going to be Tim Scott. He could be the vice president pick, whoever. I could see that. Because I don't know, can you do two white guys anymore? So they may have to pick like him as a vice president thing.
Are you talking about Tim Scott or Larry Elder?
Tim Scott.
Tim Scott. Okay.
So they already have him, right? Because Larry Elder's black too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they got their black guy, so they don't need Larry Elder.
Yeah, I was hearing some stories about like Vivek. If Donald Trump does become the nominee, that he would be a strong front runner for VP. I mean,
yes,
that would
he would be the pick, by the way, because I think Trump likes him. I can't imagine Trump picking anyone else. But again, I don't see Trump being the nominee because I think they're going to kick him out of the party. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But you're going to see it. And you're going to say, oh, Ramsey Paul said this would happen. So, maybe I'll be a prophet. Be a cult or something. I always thought it'd be cool to be like a cult leader. That'd be kind of neat. But no, I'm too lazy. I can't do that stuff. But
so why do you think that Donald Trump, if he does end up being the nominee and they end up like you're predicting, they kick him out, or they go, actually, there's some loopholes here that says you can't be the nominee and we're going to pick some random person like a DeSantis or something. It's like, does the GOP, I mean, if we're just going based off the past results, Donald Trump, and again, whether you think it's stolen or not, the official result is Donald Trump lost the election, right? So if we're going off of that, and then if it's Donald Trump again, he does give you the best chance because he did get that 74 million votes or whatever that extremely high number was. Do we really think that despite all the ridiculous, the ridiculous Joe Biden administration and all the stuff that's happened with that, does the GOP really think that if they pick a Ron DeSantis or a Chris Christie, that they'll have even a lick of a chance of winning that president? I don't understand why they would do this. Like,
well, here's my question to you. Do you think they really care to win?
No, I don't.
And I think they're fine being the junior party, and they just, some of them have positions. We're kind of becoming a uniparty, like a one-party state. I still think we'll have the Republican Party for the illusion. And some Republicans are, you know, you're probably too young, but there used to be the Harlem Globetrotters. Do you remember them? They're a basketball team.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
They always played against the Washington Generals. It wasn't a real game. And the Washington Generals were always set up to lose on purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that the Republicans will be. They will be the Washington Generals. I don't know if I can use that analogy anymore. That's because I'm so old, people forget that. But that's kind of the Republican Party, what they will be here soon, I think. So I don't think they really care to win necessarily, which is sad, but that's my opinion.
So according to Ramsey Paul, what does the GOP need to do then to make sure that if there's going to be a two-party system, and like the Democrats are clearly, like you're saying, they're there to win, and they're there to win no matter what it takes, no matter the cost. They're going to destroy you, whatever. So what does the GOP need to do? Do they need to basically copy the Democrat or the liberal game plan, or do they need to kind of do something else, some variation of that, or what do they need to do?
They need to focus on local, on state, and break away from the union. But that's, I mean, there's limited things they can do because just of how things are changing. For nationally, they have a problem. I think you need to be energized, the base, and do what people want. I can't imagine a Nikki Haley winning. I can't imagine a Mike Pence winning. They're going to lose. They'll lose gracefully, but there's just no chance. So, because people, there are real issues that things people can focus on. Like the economy, most people don't think is good. People see inflation. I think there are points that the Republicans can run on that a lot of normies will appeal to them. I really do. That's what how Trump got elected, is he really appealed to the blue collar workers in the Midwest who were losing their jobs due to outsourcing. He really connected with them. And I think they need to focus on stuff like that, to what people really, what's important to them. And because in the end of the day, people tend to care about like the economy, how their life is. There's a lot of issues we get all upset about on social media, but it doesn't really impact people much in real life. And so I think they need to focus on what really impacts people. Like everyone goes to the store and they see the prices. They yeah. see that every week. So they can't, the Democrats can't hide that and or spin it or whatever. Whereas something like Russia, Ukraine is kind of, you know, it's hypothetical. It is spending a lot of our money, but people don't see, it's not like bombs are landing in their neighborhood or something. So
right.
it's kind of a theoretical thing.
Yeah. And like you said, they can't see the money. They just hear, oh, like this $28 billion is going back to Ukraine. Oh, cool.
Yeah. All the numbers are so huge. It's just all yeah. pretend now. I mean, trillion this, or how much is a national debt and all that. It's just crazy. And people are just like, you know, they don't even know how to process it anymore. So I think people are kind of numb to all that. I do think people are upset that we're spending all this money in Ukraine when we have our real issues in America. And people are, why isn't that being spent for Americans? Or why can't we keep that in taxes? I covered today, there was an article that the average American family is spending $900 for Ukraine. And that's $900. I don't know about you. I could use an extra $900. So yeah. I need a new iPhone. So see, I could get something like that, but I'd rather have a new iPhone than see a bunch of Russians and Ukrainians die. So I think that's how the Republican Party should really focus. But they probably won't. But that's what I would advise them.
We've seen a little bit of that, especially during all the COVID hysteria, where some of the governors and some of the state level officials were saying, we're not going to enforce laws, or whether it was some kind of gun law or anything like that. It's like, no, we're not going to do this. And that's, like you were saying, that's probably their best strategy, is to kind of focus on state level, local, whether it's be a mayor of some city or maybe even be a governor of Florida. I mean, Ron DeSantis, whether you think his presidential campaign now is a freaking dud or he's doing great, he should, I think you should have stayed in Florida. He did something where in Florida, where, yeah, we're going to not, and maybe at first, he kind of was, okay, well, maybe we'll try the mask thing. We'll try the lockdowns. And he's realized, oh, maybe this isn't a good idea. I'll change my mind. And we're going to be one of the few states that's not going to do it. And then you see that some of the numbers are relatively the same as what happened in New York or California or any of these states that were heavily locked down. And all the statistics, well, there's not really any huge difference here.
So exactly. That's what ended COVID. I said at the time, is the South saved the nation from COVID, because the Southern states were like, we're not going to do this mandatory vaccine bullshit. Yeah. Biden tried to force it, went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court says you can't mandate this on the states. And then I said that day, COVID ended. And it's funny, you talked about how local times they won't enforce things. I did a video, it was kind of funny, where Oregon, they came up with some absurd law that, oh, for over Thanksgiving, you can't have more than four people legally to get together. Yeah. And then so I called Oregon and I said, well, we're planning to go to Oregon, but we'll have five people with grandma. Should I leave grandma behind, or will I be arrested? And I called the police, the information. They're like, what? They're like, no, we're not going to arrest you. I'm like, okay, I know that's the law there, that you can't have five. Or I just want to make sure you're not going to arrest us, or, you know, we'll leave grandma behind here in the home because we don't want to get arrested. So that they kind of like, no, we're not going to arrest you. So, you know, a lot of this stuff is kind of nonsense. But yeah, local is important to fix. I think in the future, you're going to see more and more people start ignoring Washington's laws,
yeah.
which is a sign of a breakup, by the way, of the nation. But we're going to see more and more of that. So, which is probably a good thing, but that's going to happen. So that's what I would focus on.
So we'll go ahead and end it here. But last question that I wanted to ask you is, and it kind of sounds like you pretty much answered it, but I just kind of want to have you on record. But you are in support of a national divorce, correct?
I think it's going to happen. Whether I support it or not doesn't make any difference. I think just over time, people are different. It will break apart. I don't advocate anyone doing anything illegal or, you know what I mean? I do think, I kind of like the original America where the states were really sort of independent. And I kind of like that model. So if California wants to do weirdo things, don't just do it here in Arkansas. We'll live our way. You can, if you want all your criminals to go run free and not arrest them, God bless you. Just keep that shit over there. We're going to arrest criminals here because we don't want that in our stores. I think that model, federalism, kind of works really well. And I'd like to see more of a return to state power and local power. And I think it will just sort of naturally happen. People will start to ignore Washington's rules. Mexico's kind of that way already. Cartel zone part, they don't really control. So we'll start to see that. So it's not so much I advocate it. I just think it will happen over time. In 20, 30 years, I think it will happen. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well,
but Aaron's you'll have your own ethno state, the Hoppatarian ethno state. So that'd be pretty good. So
yeah, we'll have to move to Hawaii. There's a lot of Hoppins there.
Yeah. So do you ever feel that conflict with yourself? Like your white side is like oppressing your Asian side or?
Oh, every day, every single second of my life.
It's like, I'm being oppressed by myself.
Oh yeah. Even when I'm sleeping, it's like, God, I'm dreaming about my mom. Like, yeah.
Well, see, you got all the advantages. So like, you're all like, it's so funny. The last time I was on with you guys, I made a joke about math and Nico, she said it, she's not really good at math. I'm what? How can you not be good at math? You know, this is like a stereotype of Asians. And
well, we break that stereotype over here. We're both not.
Well, I'll tell Nico hi. I love her. I follow her, and I love you guys. And you guys are a great, cute couple. And I wish you the best. I hope you have a really great, happy family and everything. Thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, let everyone know where they can find your work. And
Ramsey Paul. Just speaking of X, if you go to X, you'll get my YouTube, Rumble, and everything else. So X is becoming kind of the central hub. I like what Elon Musk is doing there. RAMZPAUL. You'll find me on there. And I'm no longer shadow banned on Twitter, so I like doubled my follower count in a year because the shadow ban has been lifted. Thanks. So check me out on X or whatever they call it, X. So I'm on there.
All right. Well, once again, thanks so much, Ramsey Paul, for coming on.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And thank you for watching and listening. And we'll see you in the next one.
Maybe. All right. Yeah. I'm happy to come on anytime. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
The truck's backing up because they're hearing us. I think it's time to end this episode.
And smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like
button.
Just
break your computer.
And don't forget to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button.
Bye.
Bye.